Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Cardinal Nation? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 17 of the official Red Bird Rants podcast. I'm going to be your host today. My name's Trevor Huth, and I have some of our great writers, some of FanSided's best with us. We're going to talk Cardinals trade deadline. And before I introduce them, I'm going to pose them a question, hopefully catch them off guard. And so when I introduce you, I want you guys to just give me a name, no explanation. Who is your all-time favorite St. Louis Cardinal? Mine is Chris Carpenter. So first off, I want to introduce my co-editor of the site, the illustrious Dr. Michael Miles. Doc?
Favorite Cardinal of all time, Jim Edmonds.
That's a good one. He's number two on my list. Up next is a guy that I am most certainly going to be butting heads with probably the entire show, Mr. Dan Campbell. Dan?
With the original Chris Carpenter, Bob Gibson, the most fiery pitcher that I've ever not seen personally, but seen on tape and heard about. So I'll go with Bob Gibson, but I absolutely love, like probably everybody else, the two guys you guys already mentioned.
All right. Awesome. And rounding out our cast of characters is the man of many voices, so I'm told, Christian Masazuki, CMS. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Favorite Cardinal. It's a tough one, but I got to say Adam Wainwright. There's nothing better than that. Uncle Charlie dipping down.
I'm sure Dr. Miles' Twitter account does not agree with you on that one. So
yeah, that's a low blow.
We're going to jump
that's
right
a
in.
Low blow,
all right, well, we're going to jump right in. And I know the first deal we're going to talk about, it didn't happen at the trade deadline, but it is an important trade that went down. It signified the whole blowing up of the bullpen, and that's the Luke Voit trade. So CMS, I actually want to start with you. What are your thoughts on the trading of Luke Voit?
I was a big fan of Luke Voit, and the bigger thing for me is that I don't know why they decided to pick up Shreve. Now, I mean, Shreve is a good dude and all that, and obviously there's a need for a left-hander, but I think that I've stressed this a few times in the podcast is that the way the Cardinals are managed the way they, it hasn't really changed with the addition of Schilt, but they don't really use left-handed pitchers to really combat left-handed hitters. They just sort of come in sporadically at times. There's no real matchup mojo that sort of works with them. So to bring in a guy who is not old, but not particularly young left-handed pitcher who's hasn't played particularly great this year and we don't really know is going to look particularly great ever for the Cardinals. I mean, obviously picking up the prospect is not a bad thing, but I wasn't exactly sure where they were going with Shreve.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. I think I've always said that he's an upgrade over Tyler Webb because I'm not the biggest fan of Tyler Webb. And you do mention the prospect, Giovanni Gallegos. He dropped in towards the bottom. He's number 23 on the Cardinals prospect list, but it is a good pickup. And the other part of that trade that I think, should be talked about is what went along with Luke Voit. And that was the international bonus pool money. I think that's genius. But Dan, I don't know. What do you think about the Luke Voit trade? And do you think it was smart, adding international bonus pool money to it?
Yeah. I think the international bonus pool money allowed us to get two pitchers for Luke Voit. At first, when I looked at this deal, I thought, well, who cares? This is totally insignificant. But then I took a closer look in preparation for our podcast, and I actually think first, which might surprise some readers or listeners or you guys even, I think we sold a little bit low on Luke Voit. Luke Voit, I read a pretty convincing article today, was like the hottest hitter in all of AAA in June and July, slashing like 365, 667 in July. Pretty similar, except a little bit lower on base in June. He was tearing the cover off the ball after he came back from an injury. That said, he's an older player. He's kind of one of those quad A players like Jose Martinez was his whole career before he got it together in the big leagues. So I didn't think he really had a place on our team. So I'm fine with moving him for something. I think this was a move just to get someone different in the bullpen from the left side. So I'm fine with that. And I hate this because people use this just whenever it suits them. But the splits away from Yankee Stadium for Shreve were pretty good, I think, for his numbers. And he's got a little bit of control, years of control left. I don't know much about the prospect. I think it's laughable. He slots in at 23 in our ranking system, given the starting depth that we have, and that this guy is definitely a relief prospect who really couldn't make it in New York. That said, that's a historically good bullpen in New York, so context there matters. So I think it's good to pick up two pitchers. I think the bonus pull money allowed us to do it, although we gave the Yankees like the hottest hitting first baseman in all of AAA, which was interesting to find out after digging deeper.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a good hitter. We saw him a little bit with St. Louis, and he actually just got called up to New York. But before I put any more of my thoughts in there, I want to, you know, hand it over to Dr. Miles, who, of course, has seen Luke Voit play quite a bit.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I hated this move. Hated it. I'm with Dan. This guy was a hot hitter in June and July, and the only thing that I can make sense out of this is that there has to be something more coming. If you look at this move in conjunction with some of the other pieces that the Cardinals did at the trade deadline, while not doing a whole lot, beefed themselves up for what would be something more to come. But, you know, in terms of sending Luke Voit somewhere else, I just hated it for him because he had so much promise and was a guy from St. Louis and had the opportunity to come up and play. The thing I hate is that it just didn't materialize, and that has a lot to do with the people in St. Louis. And, you know, he was a little landlocked, but I hate to see him go.
Yeah, I liked Luke Voit a lot in the few games I watched, and the organization and other fans seemed to like him. And my two cents on this is, one, the international bonus pool money I mentioned, I think that's huge because the Cardinals have that cap of $300,000 for any player, so, you know, putting that into trade to get more value is a very smart move, I think. And then on Shreve, I mean, you talk about his numbers, but one number that I, you know, if you want to read into it, his expected fielding independent pitching is 3.71, which is actually lower than his other numbers, which, I mean, my experience reading it isn't that normal. So I know that's not a great number either, but I think he's going to turn out to be a little better than people expect. And of course, Galagos slotted in at 23. I've actually seen him pitch. He's got a really good fastball curveball combination, and that could be helpful, especially from a prospect. But let's move on and talk about, and probably talk longer about this trade, the Tommy Pham trade, because it just seemed weird to me what they got back. I don't know. I mean, I'm a fan of Genesis Cabrera. I think you guys know that. This is where Dan and I are going to differ in opinion a lot. So, Dan, I'll actually start with you here. I just want to get your thoughts on the trading of Tommy Pham.
I don't think Mozeliak has made a worse trade in his tenure as the GM / president of baseball operations at the St. Louis Cardinals. I honestly think that this is a dereliction of responsibility, the return he got for Tommy Pham. The interesting thing, and I just mentioned this in the last one we talked about, is people like to be like, oh, you know, his OPS is just under 800. It's, you know, his average is 248. His numbers are way down from last year. Well, yeah, he had a historically great Cardinals year last year. In the history of the franchise, he had a top year, I feel like. And this year, the peripheral numbers, which people only cite when convenient for them, actually show that he's ball just as hard and maybe is unlucky. Now, I don't really buy into that much, the results are what they are. But people cite it all the time whenever they're arguing for a player, so I'll do it now. We didn't get much from them, and what we got, the main haul, I think consensus, is Williams, who is another outfielder. What do we have in abundance such that we've had to trade 8 outfielders to make room now for O'Neill and Bader to split center field? A ton of outfielders who are just tearing up in the minors. And I'm so sick of the narrative of having prospects in the outfield when the guys come up to the major leagues and they just can't hack it. So we're overvaluing these outfield prospects, but we keep just getting more and more and more and more of them. I was pretty compelled, as which Trevor you alluded to, by a report in Baseball America about the two pitchers that we got. And I looked into their numbers a little bit more. There are some promising peripheral stats, such as K rate and some of the things, which, Trevor, I'm sure you're going to talk about when you comment on it. So, you know, listen, I never hate getting young pitching back. That said, Baseball America says that the left-handed guy is, at best, a number 3 arm in the rotation. That's his ceiling. And the other guy is, at best, a long shot to contribute in the major leagues. That's not the kind of trade that you make for a player who put up a 7 WAR season last year and finished 11th in MVP vote, probably should have finished higher. I mean, if you trade a 5+ WAR outfielder coming off of a huge year who's struggling, then you should trade Marcell Ozuna. He makes more money, he's under less years of control, and he had he's having a worse year than Tommy Pham. It doesn't make any sense. I know you can't trade Dexter Fowler, but Ozuna is the best comparison as to what the reasons they traded Pham. And he's worse in every category, including salary and years of control. Of course, they couldn't do that because they would have to stick their foot in their mouth over the Ozuna trade. So I think it's just a terrible deal. Is Google the deal and read the grades of the trade deadline. And half the reports are, what are the Cardinals doing? Are they selling? Did the Cardinals get fleeced? The Cardinals get a C. The Rays get an A. Or, you know, you see all of those reports. And I think the consensus of information is that we got hosed in this deal. We did not get enough value back. And the last thing I'll add is, I'm not one of those people who says, you know, we should never trade Tommy Pham. I do love the player. I thought we sold low, and we didn't get enough in return. And that's my biggest complaint about the trade.
Dan, I'm probably going to send it back to you here, but he's hurt. He gets hurt a lot. He exits today's game after getting hit by a pitch, which, you know, he's probably not going to go on the DL, might not need DL time, but still, he's been often injured, and it was one good year. Do you really think that the Cardinals undersold by that much? Do you really think his value was, you know, over the hill that much?
Well, I think they sold at the wrong time, but they did sell low. I mean, I don't think that's disputable. And frankly, my response to you is Marcell Ozuna has exactly one really good year, and Dexter Fowler has exactly one really good year. So, and Pham's good year was better than both of those guys' good years. And I think most people would agree with that. So that's my response to it. But I do think that they sold low. And if they wanted to trade him to make room for their young outfielders, that same problem existed last offseason, and they could have done it then.
All right. And, I'm going to toss it over to you now, Doc. Do you have any additional thoughts or any other comments about, you know, the haul that they got back, what you think about any of them? Because the one guy that wasn't mentioned was the only guy that's not going to be in the top 30 prospects, and that's Roel Ramirez. So, Doc, what are your thoughts?
You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record in this episode, but, man, I just have to agree with Dan again, still. You know, this idea that we send Pham away after his best season, when if you were going to do that, I have to agree with Dan. You do it at the end of last season when his value was high, because I think that we got a grade of a C or a D even in this deal. You know, it's kind of frustrating because I'm not so certain that the deal had much to do with what we got coming back and more to do with sending Fam elsewhere. You know, I think the organization was a little butthurt after the Fam Sports Illustrated interview, and I think they held a grudge from that point forward, which brought you to the trade. And I think that they may have thought initially that the Fam rift had something to do with Mike Matheny, but with him being sent elsewhere, I think that Fam's disdain for the organization seemed to remain, even with his being able to play. I think that he has not played enough, in his opinion, and I think that he views himself in a much higher light than what the organization did. I think that exhausted him, and honestly, again, I think that this deal was done to send Fam elsewhere more so than it was to get anything in return. Now, having said that, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning, and that is, it's very interesting to me the number of prospects that the organization seems interested in grabbing or having grabbed at the deadline because they may be looking at a big deal coming, or maybe they think that something needs to happen through arbitration or in the offseason. But as to the Fam deal, I'm probably less disappointed in it than I was the Voight deal, but I agree with Dan. It's a terrible deal to have made.
It always seems to point back to Matheny and the handling of the players, doesn't it? I stay reserved for now, but CMS, do you think that they sold too low, they didn't sell at the right time? What are your thoughts on this deal?
It's hard to argue that they didn't sell low. I mean, at the end of the day, Fam did put up the numbers that he did last year. And on top of that, he was put on the same track at the start of this year. Just one injury sort of knocked him off of track. So really all it takes is a quick reset and him getting into rhythm, and suddenly he could be maybe not quite that 7-WAR player, but definitely a player that can hit close to 300. I'm higher on Cabrera than some people, I think. I think that part of his problem is that he's a little bit small, but he's also 21 and he's 6'1", so I think he's got a little bit more time to sort of round out his frame a little bit and become a little bit, a stronger pitcher, which will allow him to get a better command on his stuff. The other two guys I'm not quite so high on. I think that, as you guys were saying, this is a sort of an attempt to sort of eject some bigger salaries an attempt to rebuild without having really a good idea of what exactly to do, because I mean, at the end of the day, as long as these guys have been working, as long as Mosaic's been in baseball, and as long as he's been with the Cardinals, he's never really done a significant rebuild of any sort. So I think it's just them still, the Cardinal front office, just kind of grasping at straws and sort of trying to figure out what the heck they're supposed to do. I think that, in a way, Mozeliak is sort of kicking the can down the road in that they're just keep trading outfielders for outfielder prospects, and it's just sort of delaying a process and delaying a significant choice in the matter, and sort of delaying getting rid of one of these guys. Eventually, some of these guys, they're going to have to go, and you're going to have to get another position in exchange. You can't just keep trading outfielders for outfielders if there are too many outfielders on the roster. So I just think that this was, like you guys have said, a way to get rid of Fam without really knowing how to get the proper return for a rebuild.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you guys. I don't really like this trade. I thought that Fam was, of the bunch, kind of a weird guy to decide to send off. And Williams is supposed to be the main centerpiece. Like you said, he's an outfielder. I don't get why you trade for another outfielder, but what bugs me about him is I've watched him, and he's very unimpressive. And then you go look at his scout grades on MLB Pipeline, and he's just an average player. Everything is grade 50, except his hit tool's 55 and his run's 45. That kind of grading is you know, okay if you're looking at a draft prospect, but you want somebody to be able to develop, especially a guy taken in the second round, you want them to develop one of those tools to be their marquee tool, and he doesn't have that. And so I think it's a really weird centerpiece for the trade. Also, I disagreed that he slotted in at number 9, which was ahead of Oscar Mercado, who has since departed, and that is – we'll talk about that. So, but the guy that I am high on is Genesis Cabrera, and you can look at the numbers. You can talk about K rates. You can look at his size, whatever. For me, he's got a fastball-slider combination that is really good. Both of them are above-average pitches, according to MLB Pipeline, not Baseball America. But he has a below-average changeup, and that changeup development or any development of a third pitch is going to be the difference for him, whether he's going to be a starter or whether he'll be in the bullpen. Because right now with a fastball-slider combination, he could develop into a bullpen, but that's not what you want from him, especially out of a trade like this, and especially being a lefty. So he's got to figure out how to develop that third pitch. But what I like about him is that I saw his mechanics. I watched Joe Schwarz, St. Louis Cup of Joe on Twitter, put a video up of him pitching. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend going to watch it. And the key thing to look at, I've only seen one pitcher in baseball create more torque in his delivery than Genesis Cabrera does, and that's Aroldis Chapman. Now, I'm not saying that Cabrera is going to start throwing 105, but he creates so much torque, and that's how he has such a good fastball, and that's why he has such a hard bite on his slider. So we'll see how he is. He'll be making his debut for Springfield on Sunday, and I'm going to do my best to watch that and see how it goes. But I like Cabrera a lot. And then Ramirez, I think he was just kind of a throw, and I don't know really what to expect from him. I know he's not a top prospect or anything. He had decent numbers, but again, I'm not fully certain why they went after that. But like you guys were saying, this seems like a weird deal. I don't know why you bring in another outfielder, but I guess we're not Mosaic, and we can't make that call. Yeah.
Hey, Trev, what's your take on trading Pham instead of Ozuna? I mean, do you think it's just they don't want to admit they were wrong in the Ozuna trade? He has only this year and next year left under team control. He's making, what, $10 or $13 million compared to $570,000 for Pham?
I mean, yeah, you hit it on the nose. You're not going to trade for a guy and trade prospects, you know, like Alcantara and Sierra and then not even give him a full season and send him off somewhere else, especially the Cardinals front office. That's not in their, it's not in their history to say, okay, well, I guess we were just wrong about this guy. Let's give up on him, especially in the Schilt era where you see Fowler getting all the playing time, right? So I just think it's they can't turn around and admit they were wrong because that looks – worse than trading Pham does, especially with, you know, all the rumors of whatever was going on with Pham. It just is easier to trade him. And that's, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like an odd deal, but hopefully Cabrera turns into something so it's not a complete wash. With that idea, we're going to take our first break here. Stay tuned because we're going to be talking more trades and non-trades here on the official Redbird Rants podcast. And welcome back to Season 2, Episode 17 of the official Redbird Rants podcast. My name is Trevor Huth. I'm joined by Dr. Miles, Dan Campbell, and Christian May Suzuki, and we are talking trade deadline. We've already covered Luke Voit and Tommy Pham, who are both in new uniforms now. And next, I just want to jump into what I call a disaster. And for my own mental health, I'm going to start with Dr. Miles on this one because he's going to agree with me that this is a disaster. At the last second, after 4 p.m., it was weirdly announced, Cardinals traded Oscar Mercado and got Connor Capel and John Torres. Just to point something out, Mercado was number 10 in the Cardinals organization among prospects, and Capel was 14th in the Indians. Mercado is now 14th, and Capel is 10th. In their new organization. So by that standard, it's a complete wash. I think that's a joke to say that the Indian system is better, but I digress for now. And Doc, please agree with me. This is a disaster, right?
Oh my gosh. Disaster is a disgusting understatement of what that
debauchery was. You know, Oscar Mercado had a gigantic ceiling that he had not yet realized. I watched Oscar Mercado this entire season in Memphis and some of last season, and I have to tell you that I was so high on him being with the Cardinals and getting a chance to come up and show if he could do in St. Louis what he did in Memphis. And included in that, I just wrote a piece recently about this, talking that this was just a disgusting move. And quite honestly, I watched Mercado take a routine single. He hits a single. He almost turns it into a double. Then a guy comes up behind him. Doesn't matter who that guy is. Guy hits a single down the right field line. Guess what? Oscar Mercado is scoring. I don't really understand why you trade away wheels. That's something that I just never really understand. And especially in this case, Mercado, like you said, was 10th in the org, and the get that we got becomes 10th in the org. You know what? I just worry about that. It doesn't make any sense to me, quite honestly, unless, as I said in the piece that I wrote, unless he, you know, he was so landlocked and they had no real plans of moving him up, and instead they're going to run the gamut on O'Neill and Bader and that like. You know, I would have much rather seen a Rangel Ravello be traded than Oscar Mercado, but nobody was listening to me. And so, you know, what am I going to say? But like you, Trevor, I just find the deal to be disgusting.
Now, Doc, I'm going to send it back to you to play devil's advocate here for a second. Do you think they were just trying to sell high on Mercado while they could? Because, you know, he struggled for a few years as an infielder. And then you flip him to the outfield. He started to play. He's playing well. So do you think they were just trying to sell high on him and get rid of that 40-man spot?
I mean, that has to be one of the reasons, surely. Otherwise, why would you make this move? Because as you pointed out, as I've tried to point out, it was basically we just flip-flopped guys. You know, I really thought when he was climbing from the very bottom of the minors that he was the shortstop of the future. Then he moves to the outfield, and I thought he was the outfielder of the future. And quite honestly, the reason I felt that was he reminded me so much of a Willie McGee in the outfield. He reminded me of just having so much power. And not that he could blast a home run. Those came from time to time. But the threat that he presented while on the bat, quite honestly, you could have had Mercado walk up, lay down a bunt, and, you know, make it to first easily. The dude's got some speed. Now, I'll tell you this much. He doesn't come out of the batter's box terribly fast. But you let him round first, and he's picked up the speed all day long. And that's something that I just don't understand trading away. I get where you're coming from in assuming that the trade was to open the 40-man spot. But, man, that it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, it doesn't really sit well with me either, but let's see what the other two guys think. Now, part of the interesting thing with Mercado for me was that he was – I mean, I describe him as a defensive wizard. And I've seen – you know, I watched him play a couple times with Memphis, so – you know, CMS, we'll go to you. Do you think that giving up a guy with that kind of defensive prowess and speed is the wrong call to make, even if you are trying to open up a 40-man spot? And why do you think they needed that spot?
I mean, I really, to be honest with you, I cannot find a way to rationalize this one at all. I mean, even with the Tommy Pham one, obviously the value we're giving up is greater, but there's at least something to sort of salvage, some hope, potential, you know, with Cabrera. There's something there that could possibly develop with these other guys. There is something there that could possibly develop, and, you know, that could perhaps we could get our works while back. With this one, it just, to me, seems like we're giving up a good infielder for a worse infielder, or sorry, a good outfielder for a worse outfielder, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It really boggles my mind. I just don't, obviously the 40-man roster is the only thing that you can imagine. But there, at least to me, I don't think that and there was it was a wash anyway. I think that Mercado is simply better than everyone that we got back from him. So especially with the way that the team has played, I mean, we have Bader, obviously, but in the outfield, the other two guys in the outfield are pretty unstable in terms of defense. So having as much defensive prowess in the outfield is important. And on top of that, this team has abysmal speed. I mean, the guys who are supposed to be fast are Colton Wong, Dexter Fowler. There's no one really that has any kind of wheels whatsoever. So that would have been filling a perfect hole for us. But, you know, they trade him for another just generic outfielder. And I think this, as bad as the FAM trade was, I think this, in terms of sheer what you're getting back, this was the worst trade of this deadline.
I'm inclined to agree. It just seemed weird, you know, to get a guy, you're giving away the speed and the main ticket has a 55 run tool, and he's another one of those guys who's just average, who's his grades are actually, of course, better than Justin Williams, but he's ranked a little bit worse by one spot. So I don't know. It seems a little weird. I mean, Dan, what's your take on it and what's your guess at what that 40 man spot's for?
Well, first I'll say this should come as no surprise because of how bad the front office has been at managing the 40-man roster. I mean, they've just done a terrible job. You want a 40-man spot? I could give you five right now. Luke Gregersen, Matt Bowman, great starts. Get the hell off the 40-man. We don't need you because you're performing terribly. Just cut the loss and go home. I can name five more that would never happen, but it's not necessary. So to say it's the 40-man roster, I mean, it's just that's a silly justification if that is their reason. And that is evidence of further poor management of the 40-man roster. And then I'm like you guys. If you want to trade Mercado, okay, I think he's probably blocked by a lot of better guys. But the return sucks. And he's one of the faster guys in AAA. I imagine that September call-up. You guys remember when Adrian Chambers just, ran around the bases like a madman in September to help push the team to the playoffs? I mean, he could have been that type of a guy, game-changing speed, which I don't see a lot of in our organization. And the team just sold on him. Now, Trevor, I like your point of selling high on him. He's playing well. But that would be fine with me if the return was good. But the return sucked. And even if the return was speculative guys, kind of like the Voit trade, or I'm sorry, the Tommy Pham trade, then I at least want more pitching, not another outfielder. You know, just give me pitching and only pitching. I don't understand this trade. I think we got fleeced on this one too, and it's just it has to be for the 40-man spot. But that's because it's the only logical explanation, and that still doesn't make sense. So I think the conclusion here is the St. Louis Cardinals are bad at evaluating outfield talent, especially at the prospect level. And they've shown that with all of the moves that they have made that have fizzled at the major league level with Piscotty, Grichik, Pham. It goes on and on. Borges, Sierra, all these guys that they've offloaded and didn't give a chance. And I'm scared that we're going to see the same thing with the guys who look like stud prospects. You know, I feel like the hype meter is high for what we don't know. And there's a lot of failure at the major league level. That means the front office is failing at evaluating talent. And that's what this trade represents.
I mean, Dan, you're making a tough sell there, thinking that they should have taken Trout over Grichik back in the draft. That's a tough sell to make, man.
You know what's interesting to me, Trevor, let me just jump in, is that when you ask this question to us, the thing that's striking me is how exasperated the three of us are. You know, you can hear it in our voices. You can hear us stuttering to even just come up with words to describe what is incomprehensible of a move. And I know it's a broken record, but man, I'm in the camp, Dan Campbell camp, and all of this stuff, but Dan, you're just really hammering home the true point that look, at the 40-man roster spot is what you're going for. You got plenty of other dead weight sitting on it that you just had left there for nothing. And in its place, you've given up too much. I just think it's very striking that you've got three guys here who can put together pieces, and four, counting you, Trevor. And, you know, we can write words upon words upon words about something, and yet you've asked us this question about Oscar Mercado, and every one of us are stuttering to come up with any kind of emotion other than just gut-wrenching disdain.
You bring up a good point, and that's that we should all be on the lookout for a potential who should have gone instead of Mercado slider on Redbird Rants. I mean, first and foremost, we are a blog, and something like that is, I think, something that should be explored a little further. And here's something else I want to say that you guys haven't. That way I'm not repeating. It's trading one outfielder, not for another outfielder, but for two. So Connor Capel comes in and drops into the exact prospect spot that Mercado was. That's a joke. The Indian system's not that good. But he's there. Okay, great. He's hitting .261 in double A. Or no, I'm sorry, high A, not even double A, advanced A. So, you know, he's working his way up. Yes, Mercado was blocked, so you're getting a guy who's supposed to be, like, just as good, around just as good. But here's the other guy that they got back, John Torres. He's 18 years old. He's from Colombia. He's got a .273 average in the Arizona League before entering, and he's on the GCL Cardinals. He's 6'4", 199 at 18 years old. I'm not saying that size is obviously directly linked to success in baseball, but that's something that might become exciting if Torres can harness it. He's got four home runs in 27 games. But if he can harness that size to do something positive, then, again, you never know what's going to happen with how this trade turns out. But trading one outfielder for two when you already have a crowded outfield among all levels seems a little ridiculous to me. I don't know. We'll see. But I think we've talked enough about how poorly we think the front office did, and I think we should move on to how poorly we think the front office didn't do. That's a really bad play on words, but we'll go with it. We all thought that Bud Norris or Jose Martinez were going to be dealt before the trade deadline was over, if not both. And they weren't. They're still on the team. They're still suiting up in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. So, Dan, I know you were pretty into this idea. So what did the front office fail by not getting rid of one of these two?
Yeah, I think the failure here, and the only reason I say it's a failure is as soon as they started to sell. And I say they started to sell by selling Luke Voit and Tommy Pham. Oscar Mercado prospect flip, different story. As soon as you start to sell, well, sell Bud Norris. He's on a one-year deal. He's performing at a peak level of his career. And teams, every team, looking for a reliever. I mean, you can't tell me you couldn't make a deal with someone. I mean, the Astros took someone who was suspended for domestic violence for 75 games. You don't think that we could have traded Bud Norris to them or someone else who got sort of a, like John Axford went to, I think, the Dodgers. Do you not think Bud Norris is performing better and would have been a better fit for those teams? I mean, we should. And obviously, we don't care about the return that we get. So you could have just gotten something for Bud Norris. Maybe another young outfield prospect or something the system needs. But to not do on a one-year deal, but to sell somebody with 3 years of control at the lowest level and not sell the guy on the high level of his career, I mean, to me, that's inexplicable. As to Jose Martinez, I've never thought the team should trade him. I thought the team should keep him because he's maybe one of, if not the second best offensive player on the entire team. And I think he's improving in defense. So I'm not mad that they didn't trade him. Although I wouldn't have been mad if they traded him, if they actually got something in return that was valuable. So that said, I think Bud Norris was a mistake, but Jose Martinez, I'm glad, is still with the team. And he got us a win today. So that helps my point, I think.
Well, I do want to answer one of your questions. Why didn't they trade him to Houston? He's been to Houston. They've seen him. They wouldn't take him, I'm assuming. So we'll move on. We'll think, if he was CMS, what do you think? Was this a complete failure? Should they have kept Martinez, tried to deal Norris?
I mean, Hicks could have stepped right into a closer role. I don't know. What do you think?
That it would have been nice to see them traded, but it's not something that I'm so upset about that they weren't. I mean, like you guys have said, Bud Norris, I mean, at the end of the day, has played as well as not only as he ever had, but as any, essentially any bullpen arm this year for us has. I mean, he's really been, I mean, he hasn't been great, but he's been arguably the most consistent of the relievers that we have. So in that regard, I mean, at the end of the day, we need somebody to pitch. And then I know that we want to get the young guys out, but I mean, there are some times where that's just not going to work out. So you at the end of the day, it's not the worst thing, especially since he is on a one-year deal. So there's no real punishment keeping him beyond this year, obviously, because we're not going to have to pay him. I wrote an article on the Jose Martinez. like I said in that article, I'm not particularly upset that they didn't. Right now, you're not going to get much more from him than this, I don't think. He just turned 30 pretty recently. I know you have a really good amount of team control on him, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to matter if you still have team control and he's 35, 36, not producing. I mean, it's not really going to matter. I'm not upset, obviously, because he has been the best hitter on the team. But I think that if the team was really, really committed to the rebuild and really understood what they needed to do to make it happen, I think that Martinez would have gotten traded.
Yeah, I think a lot of people expected at least one of the two to get traded. But what are your thoughts about the Bud Norris and Hicks situation with, you know, Norris being the closer, Hicks probably the closer of the future? Do you think that it would have been smart to get rid of Norris just to get Hicks some time in that ninth inning role?
I think that there's one thing that Hicks needs to do, at least in my eyes, before I'm really comfortable with him in the ninth inning role. And like we were talking about with Cabrera about how in order for him to start, he needs to sort of develop that third pitch. At the end of the day, I think that we need Hicks to really develop his slider and have it become a more effective weapon, a weapon that he's more confident in, and something that batters are a little more wary of and on guard of than it currently is. I think that giving him perhaps a lower leverage situation and just allowing him to work on that pitch and not pressuring him to get the saves and stuff, I think that you can sort of work him up with Norris as the closer this year and then allow him to close next year. He's still like a really, really young kid, so there's no real rush with Hicks.
I tend to agree with that. And, Doc, we're going to get your take here in a minute. We're going to take our final break here on the official Redbird Rants podcast. And welcome back to our last stretch here. We're talking trade deadline from the St. Louis Cardinals. This is Season 2, Episode 17 of the official Redbird Rants podcast. We were talking about the non-trade of Jose Martinez and Bud Norris. Doc, you're the only one we haven't heard from yet. Do you consider this a failure, and do you think that Hicks would have been fine in that ninth inning role if Norris was gone?
You know, initially, I think I was a little disappointed, only because I was excited to see Hicks move into the closer role, but the more that I thought about it, I'm not at all upset about the lack of movement of Norris or Jose Martinez for very different reasons. One, I don't know that another team was terribly interested in Bud Norris simply because he was on a one-year deal. And if they bring him in now, he'd have to be a bona fide closer. And I don't know that we can really call him a bona fide closer. I certainly believe he is showing closing abilities. And that was something that I actually thought that he would be a good fit for when I wrote a piece way back in the early spring about the Cardinals taking a risk on a guy like a Bud Norris. This is long before we thought he was coming, so it was just serendipitous that I had pulled that name out of the hat. But you know, he's serving the role as a closer. He certainly wasn't brought over as a closer, picked up out of free agency. But I think that there's not a team that he had a good fit with who needed his services under a short-term pseudo-rental position. He's just not powerful enough to go as a rental. He's doing very well for us, but let's be honest, the Cardinals are not doing very well. I mean, they're just barely making do, and it's not a terrible thing. They're not losing horrifically, but they're not in the top conversation. So for us, he's doing a great job. Now switching gears a little to Jose Martinez, you know, as you all know, I'm a huge fan of his. Personally, I think the guy is just an outstanding human being. But I like his play. I like his bat. As Dan pointed out, as CMS pointed out, I mean, this is a great offensive player, and you don't just send that away. Yes, he has some deficiencies in defense. But as Dan said, he's getting better at that. But I think that the hold for Jose, and I sort of talked about this before, I will not be at all surprised if the MLBPA approves of the designated hitter in the National League this offseason. There's just so much smoke that there has to be fire somewhere. And if that's true and the DH comes to the National League, or even in just thinking that that could be a possibility, holding on to a cost control and year control player like a Jose Martinez, who, by the way, is dirt cheap, then that's what you do. You hold on to that. And very much like Norris, too, Martinez was not proven enough of a talent for a club in need of a designated hitter to pick him up. Just not yet. So I'm glad to say the St. Louis Cardinals held on to these two names. I don't think they will hold on to Norris beyond this season. I don't think they have to. But I am glad to see that Norris will get the chance to finish out the season with us, and then he can go to greener pastures.
All right, those are great thoughts, and I tend to agree with all of you in some sort of way, so I won't, you know, beat a dead horse by saying anything about it. So we're going to move on. We're going to grade the trade deadline for the Cardinals, but we're going to do it exactly like fearless leader John Mozeliak did. He said he knows he didn't hit a home run. He hit a single. So using your best baseball term, I want to hear what you guys think Mozeliak did. Here's the example. I think he hit a sac fly with Yadier Molina on third base. There's going to be a play at the plate. We're going to have to see how it goes and see how it turns out. But he certainly was not safe anywhere in this deal or in this deadline. So that's where my thoughts are with it. Where are you grading this using your best baseball term?
Well, you guys know I've already said this before, but I'm going to modify it a little bit. I think he struck out trying to bunt in the bottom of the ninth inning with Matt Carpenter up, with two outs, with the bases loaded. I think he struck out trying to bunt in that situation because it was ready and ripe for him to make a big move with his best assets in his hands, and he just totally failed. Strikeout.
Dan, the important distinction here, and this is very important, did Matt Carpenter eat his salsa before this game?
No salsa before this hypothetical.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. All right, Doc, what do you got? What's your baseball analogy?
You know, I originally wanted to say that it's a backwards K, and I was thinking that I would say it was Game 7, bases loaded, down by only one run with Marcelo Zuna, who's supposed to be the big bear and our big bat that came over this year, at the plate, and he strikes out looking. Instead, I have a better analogy. Mozeliak basically got himself picked off a third base at the bottom of the ninth, Game 7 World Series, down by one run, gets himself picked off of third base, which is so fitting of this year's St. Louis Cardinals.
Man, you guys are harsh. My goodness. All right. We're losing World Series here so far. CMS, do you have anything different, or is it more of the same?
Man, I'm not going to be that cruel. So here is my hypothetical scenario. He hit a sac fly. Or no, he didn't hit a sac fly. He hit an infield fly. Tried to hit the sac fly, but hit an infield fly with two outs in the seventh inning and Yadier Molina on third. I mean, we can't say that he didn't try because he certainly swung the bat. He just swung at the wrong pitch and hit it the worst, or one of the worst ways you could possibly hit it at that situation. So I don't think the game is over yet. He's still got a little bit of time left, but we are certainly behind in runs, and we could definitely use some real soon.
All right. Looks like CMS and I are in agreement that we should wait and see what's going to happen. Whereas the other two of you were just saying that this is awful.
Trev, Doc and I have been waiting to see what's going to happen for like 5 years now.
You know, I won't disagree with you. That's a good point. So we'll move away from the St. Louis Cardinals now. And CMS, we'll start with you. Who do you think came away from the trade deadline sitting pretty, was the best?
I'm going to have to say the Rays. I mean, we look at the two trades they made with the NL Central. I mean, they got Austin Meadows and Glasnow for Archer, which I think the Rays clearly win in that trade because I'm personally very high on Glasnow. And Austin Meadows is obviously a top prospect. And I like Archer, but I don't think he's a number one. And I think that that's kind of what the Pirates were looking for when they made this trade. So I definitely think that the Rays really, really won that trade really hard. And then obviously the Tommy Pham trade. I mean, I think they really, really reaped everybody this year. They did a great job, and they pillaged some teams in the NL Central this year.
And who's your worst CMS? I meant to ask that before. Who do you guys are the worst?
Oh,
the Cardinals
worst.
Or someone else?
Worst. I haven't looked at all 30 teams per se, but based on what I've seen, I mean, the Cardinals were not, they did not make a particularly positive trade this offseason or this trade deadline. So, I mean, they are definitely in my eyes, they're the worst.
Yeah, well, we might hear that a lot over the next couple answers here. Dan, we'll go to you. Best and worst, who do you got?
Best and worst. So I think the best is actually a tie. I don't know if that's a cop-out or not. I can prioritize if you want me to. But I think that the Dodgers did the best. I mean, they added Machado, who's the best player available on the market. And they added Brian Dozier, who hit 42 home runs last year from the second base position. And they added relief help. So I think the Dodgers were the best. My tie with them, I thought the Orioles did really well selling off their veterans. So that was sort of the tie. I thought the Orioles did really well in their prospect returns. And then the worst, I actually do not think the Cardinals were the worst. Because like I said, even though I disagree with the trades, I like the young pitching that came back in a couple of the trades. I think that the Brewers did the worst. The Brewers were in a position to take over a vulnerable Chicago Cubs team, and they were in a position to add pitching, which is exactly what they needed to add. And instead, they added offense. And I like the offensive moves that they made, but they were already a really good offensive team. And I think the moves they made will hurt their defense, which is another strength of that team. They did not add pitching. And so I think they're the big loser because they didn't go far enough. And I think it's going to hurt them in a way that maybe makes them miss the playoffs.
All right. Interesting. And Doc, what do you think? Best and worst? Do you have anybody different?
You know, like CMS, I have not really followed a whole lot of the other teams. But I have to tell you that I wanted to go with a tie of the best as well. I agree yet again with Dan. I thought the Dodgers won out on this one in the trade deadline. But I agree with CMS in one regard as well. The Rays did very well for themselves, made some really great improvements to their team. Now, having said that, the Rays started at a much lower spot. So it's sort of like taking a dead plant and you continue to water it. Eventually, at least mold will grow or moss will grow, and that's sort of what the Rays are. Now, that's not to disparage the people that they got, because I think those are some great ones, including Tommy Pham. And we all know they are in heavy rebuild. So I think they did very well for that. But let's be honest, the Dodgers have now made themselves the team, at least for this year, who should pick up the World Series. As to the worst, I don't think the Cardinals did the worst. I don't like their moves, like Dan said, but I think there's too much in what they picked up that's unknown to say they did the worst. I want to say, very badly want to say, that the Chicago Cubs did the worst because they didn't make a whole lot of splash. And what they did was bring someone back who I don't know that it's worth the money or the prospects or any of that nature. It seems to me like they were scrambling to get something done, to have done something, and that was the fruits of their labor.
All right. I have different teams than all of you for all of these, and I'm going to flip the script because I'm the host. I can do that. I'm going to start with the worst. I think the worst team this trade deadline was the Pittsburgh Pirates. They gave away a lot to get Chris Archer, but they bring in Chris Archer. They bring in, other major league names. But in the offseason, they're selling their big names in order to get prospects. So they're not really even in a playoff hunt. So they kind of, sent a weird message to their fans, because they started buying when in the offseason they were sellers. So for me, they're the big losers, because that was an odd way to handle the trade deadline. The winner, and I think the people who did the best, and this is based solely off one trade, is also in the NL Central. I'm going to have to go with the Cincinnati Reds. And here's why. It's the one trade where they traded Adam Duvall, and they got back two pitchers and an outfielder whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, but they get Matt Wisler and they get Lucas Sims. Now, the Rays were already, pretty decent in their hitting prospects and the hitting prospects that are close, especially having, one of the top prospects in the league in Nick Senzel, even though he's hurt right now. And they brought in some high-quality young pitching. Thank you, Dan. Preston Tucker is the outfielder. That's a wash for me. It's the two pitchers that really matter for them. So I think the Reds ran away with that one trade. And they got a lot for a guy named Adam Duvall. I mean, I think you could get more for Tommy Pham. So I don't know. I think that they won that.
Hey,
interesting, though, that they're both in the NL Central. Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, guys, were you a little did this trade deadline feel a little lackluster to everybody else? And the reason I ask that question is I find myself wondering if teams made fewer moves in preparation for this massive free agent class that's coming up in the offseason. I mean, what do you guys think? Was it lackluster, or am I just feeling a little down?
I mean, I can see what you mean, but in that same sense, that's what would make someone like Bud Norris, who only has a one-year contract, more valuable at the trade deadline if you're waiting for that free agency this offseason. But I don't know. I didn't really think it was that lackluster. I mean, you're hearing names like Machado and Archer, who's been rumored forever. So I thought it was a pretty solid deadline. I was happy with it.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of activity, but I think what you're seeing, Doc, and maybe this goes to your point, you're seeing a lot of teams overhype and overvalue prospects and stick with them, which is creating a bunch of roster congestion for every single team. So the team is thinking to itself, oh, I don't need X or I don't need Y, when really they do need to upgrade it and they just don't want to sell their prospects or give up on them, air quotes, too soon. That's the one thing I actually liked about the first moves. And they weren't complacent with what were sort of mediocre offensive position. We need to improve this. So they went and made trades for better offensive players. So I respect their moves in that way. I just thought it wasn't their biggest need. And I thought there was a lot of activity.
Yeah, and I think to that note, just as teams were overvaluing their prospects, I think a lot of teams undervalued some of their older players. I mean, let's look at Manny Machado. I get that you're banking on the fact that you're going to lose him and it's a rental, but the return for him was just – it was nothing. I mean, it's almost comparable with the return on Tommy Pham. It was abysmal. I mean, Dozier wasn't too much. All these guys – I mean, you had Archer was the one big name where, for some whatever reason, the prospects seemed to flow. But there are a lot of guys out there who also didn't really get very much value on them this year. Like Machado and Dozier. So I think that the disappointment, for me at least, more relies on the Cardinals side, because they were making all these moves, and I was thinking that there was going to be, you know, the one move that sort of caught me off, like the Carson Kelly move, the Jose Martinez move, the Bud Norris, something to sort of, you know, set us up for the future. But they're just, for all the moves that they did, there just wasn't much substance behind it. And for me, that was the most disappointing part of the trade deadline.
We're not happy with this deadline. And I just want to open it up right now for any final thoughts you guys might have.
I just had one thing. I guess it's really two, but they're both quick. One, the Houston Astros trading for Roberto Osuna of the Blue Jays, when they have a, quote, zero-tolerance policy for domestic violence, and then Lunau, who I previously respected and no longer do, comes out and says, well, he committed domestic violence in another organization, and, oh, by the way, he's really good. And it's like you get a free pass for domestic violence if you're really good at baseball. I think that's a joke of a response. And it's embarrassing that they made that trade and that he's going to pitch for them in the postseason potentially. So I just wanted to add that thought. And then with what CMS said, it looks like the Dodgers got two of the best offensive players without giving up any of their top five prospects, which is pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Chapman had his domestic violence stuff where he was shooting off a pistol in a house with a child.
I agree, and that one is a previous example of another really bad situation that went just totally ratified by the league and the teams.
But let's freak out about all the old tweets, right?
Exactly, Trev. 100%. That the false outrage about stuff when people were teenagers and not taking domestic violence seriously is just, it really irritates me. And it's outside the scope of our podcast, but, you know, I was very disappointed in a guy I used to have a lot of respect for in Lunau.
Well, domestic violence seems like a great place to end this edition of the official Redbird Rants podcast. This was season 2, episode 17. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be on the lookout for some great content from everybody you heard here and the rest of our great writers. We're always churning out some great stuff. So thank you guys for listening, and be sure to tune in the next time we do our podcast.